We've come this morning to Isaiah 53. And thinking about these lessons on the Apostles' Creed and what we believe, believing in God the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, I tried to select three readings for each. And that when I thought about Jesus, I said, now, how do you do that? Just select three. The Gospels are so full of wonderful accounts of his life, his birth, his miracles, his teachings, the resurrection, the crucifixion. And just to select something . And then I was reminded of this chapter. And it shows us so much. It doesn't just tell us the story, as it were, but it shows us what it means, what it meant to God, what was taking place. Now we have that in the epistles, but even before it took place, God spoke through Isaiah, God spoke through David, and gave us this wonderful picture of what God was accomplishing on the cross. And so I feel we're on holy ground this morning. I know we're always on holy ground here at camp, but as we read this chapter, let's just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us and to open our hearts, eyes, and we could see again the beauty of our Savior. We'll begin at the end of the 52nd chapter. Just let me just share one little testimony from the village this morning that blessed me. I ask for testimonies just like I do here. And I said, we're going to sing a verse of this song, and then I'll wait, and if you have a testimony, you get up, and counselor or camper. And so we sang the first verse, and no one got up. So I waited about 5 seconds, and I said, all right, we'll sing the second. But after the second verse, one of the counselors got up. And after the third verse, one of the boys got up. And I was so blessed with what he said. He said, the Lord has been speaking to him at home during the year as he does his devotions. And he's learned to open his Bible and say, Lord, what do you want to say to me? And he was, you know, very honest about it. And he said, sometimes God speaks to me. Sometimes God speaks to me. And he makes it real to me. And I was so blessed by that. And so we want to have that same attitude of heart this morning, or whenever we open God's Word. Lord, what do you want to say to me? What do you want to say this morning from your Word? Speak to me. Make something real to me. And I'd like to give opportunity this morning for you to share from this chapter. And so what is it that God's laying upon your heart as you read, or how has God blessed you from this chapter in the past, made a verse or a passage real to you? Let's just allow, again, God's Spirit to have his way, and we'll all be blessed. We'll all be edified. We'll all be encouraged. We'll all be drawn closer to the Lord. Let's begin on this side this morning, Sister Liz. Verse 13 of Isaiah 52.
Could we sing Psalm 103 in the Red Book?
103.
Man of the second verse of that song would have to be the theme of this chapter. Bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood. Sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah. What a savior. It's a wonderful thing to be charged with the presentation and proclamation of the gospel. And when we preach Christ crucified, when we preach Jesus, so often I think of the line from that song you chose for us, Chucky. I just want to say, and I sometimes do, hallelujah. What a savior. Hallelujah. What a savior. This chapter that we read is really a song in the book of Isaiah. There are a number of songs called Songs of the Servant, Songs of Jehovah's Servant, and they have to do with Jesus, prophecies about the Messiah. This is the one that is best known, and this particular song has five stanzas, three verses each, and you'll notice, as we said, that theme. In my Bible, when the song starts, it says, he was pierced for our transgressions. He did something that only he could do. He is the servant of Jehovah to carry out the plan of salvation. Something that only he could do. No one else could accomplish this. And so he was willing to do that. If you would like to think of it this way, you could see this song. Well, it's not school time yet, at least not in New York, but you could see it as a parabola. You know, you've seen that on the graph, how it comes like this. Back. The first stanza and the last, you have high exaltation. He shall be high and lifted up and shall be exalted. And then when the work is accomplished, you also can read about how great is his triumph. He sees, since he poured out his soul to death, he sees and he is satisfied as he knows that many will be justified through his cross work and by his knowledge. They shall be accounted righteous, for he bears their iniquity, and he sees his seed, he sees his offspring, and his days are prolonged, and the pleasure of the Lord prospers in his hand, and a portion is divided, the spoils are divided with many and with the strong. Those who are his, who come to put their trust in him, and he is highly exalted. Forever he lives, forever he sits on his throne. Isn't that our theme for today too? He's risen and ascended and exalted. Praise the Lord. And you see that here. And yet in the center, he came down, 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 down. He came down to us to become one of us so that he could take our place. And he experienced the nadir, you could say, of human existence. He poured out his soul unto death. For me he died. For me he died. And for me he lives. An everlasting life and light he freely gives. You see that here so beautifully expressed. So wonderfully taught is this doctrine of his substitutionary death and perfect atonement, sacrifice of himself offered for you and for me, who had gone astray, who had rebelled against God, who everyone has turned aside, everyone to his own way, yet the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. Our only hope was in what Jesus did, and he is yet our only hope. My hope is in the Lord, who gave himself for me and paid the price of all my sin at Calvary. And now he is alive and he is exalted. He has the highest place of all. Obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, wherefore God has highly exalted him. The head that once was crowned with thorns is crowned with glory now. A royal diadem adorns the mighty victor's brow. The highest place that heaven affords is his by right. The King of kings and Lord of lords and heaven's eternal light. Hallelujah, what a Savior.
So now you should have written something in your book, right? That this is the song of the servant. Did you write that down? And there's five stanzas, three verses each.
You see? No record.
Let no record, it's on the tape, brother. And if we would just take the time to be good students, you would be blessed. You would be blessed. My mom's not here to tell you to push your pencil. She's not here to tell you to open up your book and to let me see what you wrote down. But you only get out of this what you put in. That works in the spiritual life just like in the natural. And so we don't want to let these things just go through our ears, as it were, and be forgetful hearers. And you can look back then when you go home and say, what did God say to me while I was at camp? And you can write it down and look in your book what you wrote down. And so I encourage you to do that. But is there someone who would like to share something from this chapter? Anything that blesses you?
The verse that has blessed me has been, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of our soul. I remember years ago, and still to this day, the Lord deals with me gently. He has his staff, but we like sheep, we like to make our own decisions. We like to make or go our own way. Sometimes the Lord says, not that way, come this way. He gently moves us along. And I want to be one of those sheep that hear his voice and not just stubbornly go my own way. I know I have to constantly deal with the Lord with that, that I don't just go my own way and figure things out myself, but hear his voice and go his way.
I can't read that fourth verse without thinking of that passage from Handel's Messiah. It says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. What a certain word that is. Surely, surely. And I'm so thankful this morning that He did this for me. He's a wonderful Savior, and He's my Savior. And he goes on to say that we esteemed Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. We saw what was happening to Him, but He was wounded for our transgressions. He wasn't suffering for anything that He needed to atone for of Himself. He was not suffering for His own sins. He was suffering only for our sins. He was crushed for our iniquity. The chastisement, the punishment that brought us peace was put upon Him. With His stripes, we are healed. I'm so thankful that it's for us today. And you know, when you think of what Jesus had to suffer, yes, it can make us feel bad that He had to do that for us, and that's good. But it should go beyond that and make us thankful. Thankful that He did this for us. That it is a sure thing that we can surely be forgiven of our sins, and that He carries our griefs and carries our sorrows and carries our transgressions. It's sure, and it's for us today. Thank you.
It's very interesting, the word pierced. During that time when Isaiah was written, they used to stone people to death, and the form of crucifixion came later. So how accurate this was, for it describes Him as being pierced.
Find that also in Psalm 22. We don't have time to look at that, but if you have ever read that psalm, you see how it so clearly depicts the crucifixion and what took place on the cross. How did David know that? The Holy Spirit was again showing us what was going to take place before it happened. And Jesus quoted from that psalm as He hung upon the cross, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? It ends with that thought, the Lord has done it. It is finished. It's accomplished. It's done. I just, in looking at these verses, just again see that the salvation that has been purchased for us is something that we need to take personally. He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. Chastisement that brought me peace was upon Him. By His stripes I am healed. I'm thankful that we have been taught in God's Word that we can believe for healing, complete healing for body, soul, and spirit. By His stripes we are healed. Every need, every sickness, every disease, every thing that has come upon man because of the curse, because of the fall, has been fully redeemed, paid for in full in Jesus' death. He has broken the power of the enemy. And it was for me. For me. He died. I don't think I can read this chapter without also realizing that this was what God wanted. Sometimes we think it was the Romans, right? And it was those evil Jewish leaders, you know, who were so jealous that they... But the Bible clearly teaches us that in the end it was God's will. He was smitten of God. And here in verse 10, yet it was the Lord's will to crush him. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. And I don't know if we can fully understand that or appreciate that. The Bible tells us in the New Testament, Corinthians, that that God was, in a way, on the cross reconciling us. You know, and our salvation is finds its beginnings, its origin, it's from the heart of God. It's not anything that we have conceived. It's not a plan of man. Salvation is God's work. And it pleased the Lord, it pleased God to crush him. The chastisement that brought us peace, peace with God, was upon Jesus. And so I'm so thankful that we can just pause this morning and consider again this great work of salvation, the cross. Lord, open my eyes. Open the eyes of my heart to see, to bow. And just in closing, that verse that's at the bottom of your booklet there. It says, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. This really doesn't make any sense, does it? In a worldly perspective, this doesn't make any sense. Some man who claims to be God dies upon a cross, and what does that mean to me? That's foolishness. He saves me? He dies. How can he save me? And yet, for those who believe, who by faith have caught a glimpse of the dying Lamb, it's the power of God. Sets me free. Sets me free from the guilt of sin. It sets me free from the power of sin. Sets me free from the penalty of sin. It gives me hope in this life and in the life to come. Full salvation purchased for me by the Son of God, the Lamb of God. And so as we have been admonished to be thankful, we ought to be thankful. Thank you, Jesus. One of the songs we sang this morning in the village was, he paid a debt he did not owe. It's interesting how you say, what song would you like to sing? And sometimes you get some real good ones. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. None of us are worthy. None of us are good enough. None of us have anything to bring. And so we just come and bow before the cross. Lord, be merciful to me, sinner. And so, Lord, we thank you again for the great love of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Lord, I pray that we would enter in more fully to this full salvation that you have purchased. Lord, help us to see it's for me. You suffered in my place. You paid the penalty. You satisfied the righteous judgment of God. You turned aside his wrath so that I could be restored in fellowship with him. Lord, we thank you. I pray, Lord, that we would walk in the light of this great freedom, so great salvation that you have purchased. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So be with us throughout this day as we walk with you. I pray that you would remind us how near you are, how precious you are. Hallelujah, what a Savior. I ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I'll live for him who died for me. How happy then my life shall be. I'll live for him who died for me. My Savior and my God. My life, my love, I give to thee, O Lamb of God, who died for me. O may I ever faithful be, my Savior and my God. I'll live for him who died for me.
Sister Liz, would you pray with us, please?
Father, we thank you for the great love that prompted that great sacrifice of your own Son. Yes, Lord, we know that you love your Son. You wouldn't have done it if there had been any other way. We thank you that in your holiness and your love, you did the one thing that could be done for us. Oh God, help us to live today for you. In Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Lord bless you. Be with you.